Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Of course, we can have a holographic deck or a holographic sky based on Star Trek in the 23rd century. But then again, maybe ET is doing that to us. They're projecting holograms so we see what they want us to see, either to hide what they really are or for some purpose we do not understand.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Rich. I mean, we just don't know. Right?
I just go back to the fact that, you know, again, you know, we can speculate all we want, but then you have to also include the fact that you have, well, I mean, like Ted Phillips had collected over like 4,000 or 5,000 physical effects, and we have physical effects and ground burns and all kinds of microwave radiation that happens and various other things. And so, you know, this has happened over history, even before the latest technology has happened. So these objects have been going and stopping on a dime and backing up and doing the same kind of motions that the Tic Tac was described to do back in the 50s.
Oh, yeah. Now you're talking.
That we had holographic capabilities back in the 50s?
No.
Why would I want to necessarily accept that suddenly that we're doing that? And that is what's causing it when it's performing the same way that we had with the Tic Tacs, if you would, kind back in the 50s. So I think we're dealing with some sort of a phenomenon that's been pretty consistent. They can hover. They can shoot off on a dime in any direction. They're not impacted by inertia. They don't have a visible means of propulsion as we know it. They are underwater in the air and in space, and they don't change their shape. So that's been pretty consistent. So I'm not going to, you know, I'm not ready to jump into like wanting to declare that they're all of these other things necessarily. I mean, again, until I can see some sort of scientific papers which shows that we've got that kind of a capability, I'm going to be a little bit skeptical.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, it's good to be skeptical. It's also pretty obvious that now, with the technology that we have, that something like that could be done. So if it's possible for us to do it, whether we have it or not, is sort of almost beside the point, because sort of a good rule of thumb would be to say, well, look, if it's possible for us to do it, it probably was us instead of some aliens from, you know, another planet or whatever. That might be wrong. When you're making the case about them back in the 50s and the 40s, we're talking about the golden age of ufology. And yeah, back then, there is just no way. Whatever was happening then, whether they were real craft or some sort of projection, as Gene suggests, it wasn't ours. We weren't making it. Something else was. So maybe there is something like a giant mothership, like in the JAL case, like you were talking about, where they're capable of doing that, you know, back then. And so some situations were craft that appeared to be there but weren't really there. And that would answer a lot of questions about how they're able to maneuver the way they do.
Yep. Well, I guess I'm just saying more study. I mean, we don't have any answers. We really don't. And they're all over the board in terms
of... What's your favorite one? Like, if you had to pick one... For what we're dealing with, because, I mean, no matter how you break it down, you and I both know we're dealing with something that is beyond whatever it is we're doing. The core here is we don't know what it is, but what's your favorite hypothesis?
Well, I tend to want to go with the idea or the notion that they're basically like somehow us maneuvering through time. I tend to go with that one over a lot of them. I think that... I can't conceive of anything that has a better fit, if you would. Space is so blasted vast that you know, if
even if they were like from another planet, I mean, you have all those things to overcome in terms of time dilation. You've got the, you know, you've got all the time impacts associated with that. I mean, like, you've got the, it's too phenomenal for me. I mean, we don't see them necessarily popping in from, you know, Zeta Reticuli, or we don't see them in space, if you would. But nevertheless, there seems to be a phenomena that's been on this planet since time immemorial. I mean, the recorded history of the Earth. I mean, of our recorded history, if you would. We've got objects that are descriptions of things that have happened throughout this time. And I just tend to want to go with the belief that the fact that they look so much like us, that we have some sort of a kinship with them. The fact that they're not intending to harm us. And if you want to look at the nuke cases, they're out trying to shut those things off because they don't want any impacts. You know, if you look at the nuke kind of case story from the 95,000 foot ceiling. So there's a kinship, if you would. We don't understand that kinship. Their ability, they look a lot different than us. So they're either on the front end or the back end of time, if you would, and somehow having some sort of a relationship where they observe. They don't want to necessarily, whether they are having an impact on us, because obviously we're spending a lot of time studying them and probably trying to create a craft that can do the same thing. So they're kind of like, we're being led. If I talk about like Star Trek and you talk about the communicator, and now we're making cell phones, you know, I mean, so are we being led in a certain direction by these things? But there's this relationship, and I want to tend to think that they might be some objects like that, that it's us from a future time or some role that we have where they're impacting us and we're the aliens, if you would. You know, they brought us to here and they're seeding the planet or something, you know.
That reminds me of the movie Arrival with Amy Adams, where it deals a lot with time that way. I'm personally have a lot of trouble believing in time travel the way sci-fi portrays it, but I thought the movie was really good. What do you guys think?
I enjoyed the show. I thought that it was good in the sense that it was trying to alter us from our understanding of how we would even communicate with these things, and the fact that you know, that they did play a role as far as time was concerned. So I liked the movie. I thought it was very, very good.
Funny enough, I only saw like 2/3 of it, and for whatever reason, never came back to it, and then the rental expired. You know how the online rentals work. It's usually 48 hours to watch the movie, and if you don't make it in the 48 hours, you lose access to it. So we decided, well, we're not going to rent it again, but maybe sometime in the future. It's probably free somewhere.
I'm excited about that. Are you aware of the James Fox movie that's going to be coming out in September called The Phenomena?
Gene?
No. Could tell us more.
Yeah, tell us more.
So James Fox was...
James Fox. Yeah, I didn't know the name of it.
Remember, I think originally it was going to be something like the 701, in the sense that it was going to be talking about Blue Book cases, the unknowns in Blue Book. But it since then has morphed in a bit, and now it's called The Phenomena. They actually have trailers out for it, and it looks quite good. Quite good. So I'm very excited about that. That'll be in theaters in September.
Oh, this is going to be a movie, not a series.
Oh no, it's a movie.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
Yeah, so this will be in theater. And so I'm very excited about that.
Now, we have been in touch with James Fox about the progress of the movie. Of course, he didn't tell us the title. I did get an email that he was about to deliver the finished film to the production company. And this film has had an amazing, amazing odyssey from the beginning until the point it's reached now. And that's also quite a Hollywood story for many movies. We're going to have James Fox probably on the PowerCast when it's a little closer to the release date. like happens with Hollywood projects. That's how it goes. We've got Rick, Sheen, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
I'm here with Scott Jusium, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Do you feel like many of us?
All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day?
Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of my pillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented my pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@GCNLive.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Rich Hoffman, have you gotten a chance to see the TV fictionalized version of Dr. Hynek's life, Project Blue Book?
Yeah, I watched that for comic relief.
I knew J. Allen Hynek. I mean, I
met him a lot of occasions. I've even been to his house when he was living up in Evanston, but and I knew his wife Mimi and so on and so forth. But yeah, it's pretty wild to watch that show. At first I was really upset. Like I think a number of like long term ufologists were, in the sense that it, you know, it didn't do the cases any justice. It goes off on and changes names. It changes everything. I mean, you're sitting there saying, well, what is this case that they're trying to show? Because, you know, the real one, and it's nowhere near what it was. Since then, I've been able to rationalize it. If I look at it like a bunch of X-Files show where they've, you know, just basically used loose cases and went off on their own.
Like docufiction, but really heavily fiction. And that's cool. I mean, you know, ufology is very cultural. I would say probably the largest portion of it is cultural, and probably one of your esteemed members there in the SEU, Dr. Paul Kingsbury, would probably agree. You know, it's fine to have fun with it and enjoy it as entertainment, but there is a serious core. And I find it really interesting. This is a golden opportunity, if you don't mind. You knew some of these people, and you actually hung out with J. Allen Hynek. I mean, to me, he is sort of the pinnacle of the whole scientific exploration of the subject. And it's my understanding from what I've read, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but that he started out fairly skeptical, but over the course of his investigations, through his interaction with the witnesses, with the people, finally became convinced, despite the lack of the material, the verifiable, scientifically valid material evidence, that these people weren't just concocting stories, that something real was going on. Did you ever get a chance to talk to him about, you know, that shift in his change in attitude?
You got to understand that he was working as a consultant and getting a military stipend, if you would, for his consulting capabilities on the subject. And so he was under a contract. And the contract was to basically do some sort of like study, if you would, of whatever these cases were about, and to come up with some sort of like a rational explanation for it. Well, like I've done with many of the UFO cases that I've done, and I've done thousands of cases myself, it's a situation where you go out with an open mind. You want to hear what these people are having to say, and then you try to like apply what he called the escalation of hypotheses are, where you start off with, well, you know, what do we know that it could be? And then you eventually, when you can't explain it with what the known is, then you come up with, well, maybe it's more in the unknown. And you really do it that way. And so ultimately, after a period of time, you're left with these cases that you cannot explain, you know, and then you have to, your natural tendency is to do the thing where you say, well, wait a minute, there is something to it. I can't put my finger on what it is. And he did the same thing. I mean, it's just the more you looked into cases, like even those 701 that you were talking about that can't be explained, you go back and you scratch your head and you say, well, I can't come up with anything rational. So what is it? And so I think he was under some constraints when he was under the military. Because, you know, you're not going to call him alien. You're not going to call him this. You're not going to call him that. Plus, he's got his scientific credibility online. And so he's a well-respected astronomer. And science, him and Vallée were trying to be able to create, again, the invisible college and get all these people to get engaged. But to keep it quiet, because you can't deal with it in scientific circles.
For you guys, then, like you just mentioned Vallée there and Hynek. Now, does the SCU use their system of classification? For example, we've got the four basic types, the anomaly, the flyby, the maneuver, and the close encounter. Mm-hmm. And each of those have a range of types from first to fifth, first, second, third, fourth, and fifth kinds. Does the SCU follow that pattern, or have you got your own sort of classification system?
We haven't developed our own kind of a classification system.
So you're sticking with the Hynek Vallée system.
Well, right? I think we're familiar with it because a good number of us were actually in MUFON, and that's what we use.
Right. Okay.
And so we tend to understand that world and that classification system. I think that what we're about largely is to get you know, basically papers written and published and getting and tackling hard cases and tackling, you know, like these thermal imaging cases that we're not out there jumping to replicate ourselves or turn ourselves into another MUFON. And we're not trying to be a blue book. We're trying to be a coalition or a group of people who have an interest in this and are willing to tackle projects. And so we're project oriented, if you would. And so, for example, right now I already mentioned that I had the project with the lights, the Cloverdale lights that were Earth lights. And then we have a project out there that's actually doing a shape characterization study. We've also got a study going on with looking at USOs. And so we have some scientists and statisticians who are going out and looking at the USO cases to see if we can determine anything from those patterns. So that's the kind of thing that we do. We're like a brain trust, if you would, that's tackling those complex problems with this and looking at it from a project-based orientation.
I like the sound of that. Now, in conjunction with that, you guys tend to be involved with something, and I'm not really sure exactly what the acronym is. It's the AAPC. It's a conference, so I'm kind of assuming anomalous aerial phenomena conference or something like that.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
Okay. And so tell us about that.
I had my last one, in fact. I think it was the last time I was on with you was right after the conference in March of this last year. And that was our first conference here in Huntsville. Well, we're having our second one that's coming up here on the 5th through the 7th in June.
In Huntsville, yeah.
Yeah, so we're I'm in the process of organizing that. We have all the presenters on that lined up, and in fact, right now we're getting people to get signed up. A lot of our affiliates and our contributing members are getting signed up right now, and then we're going to open it up to the general public after a period of time. But we're bottom line is we've got something like there's seven presentations, main presentations, and then we've got about seven other what we're calling poster board presentations that we're doing. And those are like on a smaller scale, but basically people will be able to rotate between these different poster board presentations that go on and they repeat. And so that allows multiple parties to be able to hear them.
We've got to stop here for a moment with Rich Hoffman.
Yep.
And Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
In Texas, Bernie Sanders supporters celebrating his big win in the Nevada caucuses. Campaigning for Super Tuesday, Sanders poked fun at President Trump.
You know, this is also important. The president gets very, very upset easily. So don't tell him that we're going to beat him here in Texas.
former Vice President Joe Biden is in second place, and former Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg in third. Senators Elizabeth Warren and Amy Klobuchar are trailing behind. Biden told his supporters, people are ready for change.
They don't feel like they're getting a chance, because they're not. They're being left behind. But I promise you, I give you my word as a Biden, I'm going to bring everybody along with me.
This is USA Radio News.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS and you cannot afford to make payments to the IRS, you may qualify for the CNC tax program. This is a new program, and if you qualify, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Once you are accepted into this program, the IRS is forced to stop all harassing collection activities. No threatening phone calls, no wage garnishments, no bank levies, and no more monthly payments to the IRS. Get ready to write this number down. It's the most important number you'll ever need to end your IRS tax nightmare. Call Paramount Tax Relief at 800-547-4804 for a free confidential consultation to find out if you qualify for the CNC tax program. Once you are accepted into the CNC tax program, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Call Paramount Tax Relief now at 800-547-4804. That's 800-547-4804. Again, 800-547-4804.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
Descriptive matter that Rich was dealing with here, the organization structure. Go on, please.
Yeah, so the conference that we've got is basically going to be coming up, and it's going to have something like 13 people. You know, I want to point out to you that you mentioned Bryce Zabel, and you've also mentioned Kevin Randall. Both of those people are a part of SCU as affiliates as well. You're actually interviewing a number of our people as well. We've got a good number of presentations. Dr. Lucianne Walkowitz, is going to, from Chicago, she's with the Adler Planetarium, is going to be our keynote for the speaker at the conference. And then we're going to be talking about everything from the technology tools that you can go out to be able to study these things. We're going to talk about the Ubituba, a metal analysis. We're going to be talking about, last time we talked about satellite, available Earth satellites that we can use to be able to study the phenomena. And we're going to get into that a little bit more. We've got, basically interstellar travel covered with Dr. Kevin Knuth. He's going to be presenting something on the interstellar bus. We're talking about dark matter and dark energy in relationship to UFOs. And so we've got a lot of different things that we're covering in these things. And again, they're more scientific based, but, the general, public that we had that attended last year loved it. I think we had something like about 12 PhDs in the room, and they were all communicating and talking and challenging each other. It was exciting to watch it.
Yeah, that sounds like it would be really fun on an intellectual level. Yeah. One of the people that I noticed that was there was Luis Elizondo, and I have a couple questions about him because we had Leslie Kane on not long ago, who, of course, was one of the first people to introduce us to Elizondo and his role with the ATIP program. And then we have people like Greenwald who were questioning Elizondo's role in ATIP, and nobody seems to be able to have pinpointed his actual role. Some people say he really didn't have much of a role. He sort of claims he was the head person. Leslie's kind of calls him the point man, but what was his actual role in all of that? Does anybody really know?
Yeah. I mean, you talk to him and you get the answer, and basically we've had the answer for a year or longer. I mean, you have to understand how and this is the problem, the disconnect that you have where, see, like, Greenwald likes to go into these paper chases, you know, going and let's do a FOIA and let's see what we can get in the way of documents. Well, do documents really tell you the full story? No. How good is the government writing down everything? They aren't. How good is it to be able to retrieve all the wonderful documents and try to follow the threads of documents and think that you understand anything that's going on? Well, you don't. And so on one hand, you're just doing a paper chase, but then you have the individual that was working there and you have them explain it. And then you have to understand the context or the relationship by which that person was working, and the intelligence world is a little bit different and a little bit more restrictive and sharing than you'd think. And so consequently, then you're left with these little tidbits because they don't want to be able to reveal the everything, or they might be giving away tactics or secrets or something of that nature. And I can understand that. I mean, when you're working in a classified world, and I work in a classified world, I'm in the building. I've got a classified PC on my desk and I've got one that's non-classified. So, you know, you're a little bit cautious about what you want to say, and you don't want to lose your security credentials that you've worked your butt off to be able to get. And so that's why you get that disconnect between something that Lou says or whatever like that and what Greenwald will find. But that doesn't mean that he wasn't in charge of it or that he wasn't the lead man or the point man or what you want to call it. And he was.
This is what I'm trying to determine, is just sort of, you know, how does the chain of custody for evidence play into his role? Like, if someone, let's say if we take the Nimitz case, for example, and we have those bricks from the recorders, and then we've got some people that were aboard the ship and then that nobody's really sure who they were. Okay, so somehow those recordings ended up with Elizondo being able to take them out and get them and declassified or released to the public. So there's a lot of steps in between there that, you know, like, did they call Elizondo and say, hey, we got guys coming from the destroyer with bricks, and he met them at the airport? Or, you know, exactly what did he do is what nobody seems to really know for sure. It's always nebulous, you know, but somehow they ended up with him. We do know that.
Yeah. And they have a whole lot of other information that they've collected over a long time that you're not going to know, and I'm not going to know because I don't have a need to know. And that's the name of the world, okay? So, I mean, welcome to the world of intelligence and all that other stuff you've got out there. So there's that kind of thing. So you're never going to know all the answers. I'm not going to know all the answers of what they had. And as far as the process of getting these things declassified, it's a very clear process. And he explained very clearly to me what happened. And oh, by the way, you know, almost in every instance where Greenwald was making claims about him or this or that, they've been debunked, basically. There's been things that come up or documents that come up and show that, yeah, well, no, here's the actual form he filled out, you know, or here's the email that talks about him, or here's Harry Reid saying that this. So, I just sit back and I watch and I laugh. But basically, I mean, Lou has been very upfront and very honest and very much telling what he feels that he wants to tell. And oh, by the way, the project is still going on, and there's somebody in the seat, and they've changed the name of it, and it's hidden again. So you're not getting that either.
I think it's really interesting that this is the first time, because we've heard these incidents. You know, the aircraft lands at the field, and suddenly these mysterious people come along, grab the film, take it, and off it goes, and nobody ever hears from it again. This is the first time I've ever heard
of the film coming back out again through someone who was involved with the DOD.
Precisely. And that's
I don't know about you, but I've never seen it before. So,
yeah.
You know.
And so my wanting to point the finger at Lou would be like me wanting to shoot Santa Claus.
Oh, no, I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just trying to figure it all out because I find it really interesting. And you know, you got to think, well, there's got to be more there that probably Lou knows that we don't know and might never know, you know?
You know, mm-hmm. The thing that bothers me also is focusing on things like this diverts our attention from what's really going on. It's the personality stuff that has always affected the UFO field.
Well, right. That's true. Yeah. I mean, there's so many personalities in this thing, and they're leading us all over the place.
Well, I guess that, you know, that's a really good point, Gene. And we talked about that a bit with Bryce Sable and, of course, Stephen Bassett, who, and both of those guys are thinking 2020, we might just get disclosure this year. And, of course, Bassett's been saying it pretty regularly for a long time. But then when you've got people like Zabel and other people are kind of expressing this idea that we're getting really close to it now and maybe it will happen. But do we really need it to happen when we already know that some sort of alien visitation has been going on? What can they tell us that we don't already know?
Let me just add one thing we're going to break in a moment, and that is, does the government, any government, have anything to disclose? Or would it be worse to get up there and say, you know, we have these things happening. We don't know what they are. We don't know what they are, but they do not seem to represent a threat to national security. And that alone would be a problem. Then again, governments tend to be reactive, so maybe something would have to happen on the part of UFOs, whatever they are, before anything happens. More to come with Rich and Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses. Why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNlive.com. You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's Dr. Sonia Baccia on The Doctors.
So, this is a
product, we're going to see if it works. It's called Instantly Ageless. And the idea is that it works very quickly. Is you just need a very small amount. And then you apply it to areas where you might be a little bit puffy. I have just looked at what's in this product. And one of them is something called argireline, which is sort of a darling in dermatology right now. It's a peptide or a protein that actually relaxes the muscle. It's also called Botox in a bottle. The other active ingredient in this is silicates, which are almost act like a clay. They're minerals, and they're making the skin sort of tighter. It's actually increasing the surface tension on the skin to push that herniated fat pad back.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com.
I'm here with Scott Youseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, Rich Hoffman, what's your perception? You think the government has something to disclose that they've been keeping a secret for 70 years?
A lot of people keep telling me they've heard it over my 5 decades, as you pointed out. I mean, that, oh, well, we're going to hear the answers, or so the government's going to come clean, or they're going to come and make some sort of pronouncement that they're here. And then we look at, you know, the reluctance you see us even admitting from the government standpoint that there's water on Mars. You know, I mean, or anything like that. I mean, it's like,
yeah,
they don't readily make those claims until they have, well, the best evidence you could possibly have, you know, short of us, I mean, having something in our hands that we could actually say that is a piece of an object or something of that nature. I don't think you're going to see it. And then the big question comes again, and this is just going back to the fact that if this thing is placed in the military, how does the military think? The military thinks in terms of threats and defenses, right? That's its purpose. It's about that. So what is it? What's going to happen if the United States makes a big proclamation that there's extraterrestrial life that's visiting the Earth, and then you have NASA that's been saying, well, we haven't found anything, and you got SETI that's saying that there's nothing, and then you have, what's it going to do to the religious community, and how will that be, and the Vatican's going to go crazy, or what's going to happen in terms of other world politics and leaders and stuff like that? So, well, I guess what I'm trying to say is you got to be very, very cautious about making that proclamation until you have something. I mean, right now, you've got just in terms of our politics that are going on, nobody believes anything.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's all fake news.
Everything is being said is being, you know, I don't know what truth is anymore. And so if I got the government saying that they're out there, they're real and everything else, well, you got a whole public out there that says, well, I don't buy any of that. The government's lying to me. You know?
Yeah. You know, it reminds me here of a statement from a certain former America's mayor, which is truth isn't truth.
Yeah, exactly. And so how do we deal with truth in now this culture where everybody out there is questioning what's true? And we heard the terms alternate facts being thrown around. I mean, and we've got a very gullible group, I mean, of people that buy anything they see on the internet. I mean, and so, hey, you know, we got blue aliens, we got, you know, giant aliens, we got pink elephants, you know, we got flying everything around. And yeah, because it's on the internet, I believe it. You know, it's we're good to go. And so,
let's suppose then that the agencies in the government that are responsible for monitoring planetary security, I mean, there is a space force. A number of nations have military satellites. The U.S. alone definitely has ones that are, you know, out of Lagrange Point 2 and others that are out past the moon. I mean, these are satellites that can look back on the other side of the moon. They've got to know more than we do. So let's suppose that they come out with these photographs, crystal clear, of objects coming into the Earth's atmosphere and putting them out on an official government website saying, we don't know what these are, but they're definitely here. I mean, would that be good enough, or would everybody think it's just some sort of government hoax?
Well, I mean, look, I mean, anything can happen. But I mean, the question is, how do you release that kind of message to where it's believable? And then what's the purpose? You're going to have half the population that doesn't believe it, and you're going to have the other half that does. And I mean, so where does that get you? I don't know what the benefit is at this point, knowing how long we've gone with just the same status quo, where it's going to make a heck of a lot of difference. And, you know, and I think that that's just something that we have to like ponder a bit, that if you put yourself in a government's position, if you would, and they're aware of it, that it may exist. And then they got, like I said, you know, NASA's over here saying, well, wait a minute, life doesn't exist. And we're saying that it's here. And then photographs could be fake. And, well, is a photograph, you know, nobody buys into the photographs that you see. They can all be faked. And then they don't believe the moon landing happened. I mean, what are you going to do?
To make it worse, of course, we have the world of disbelief, two realities existing simultaneously. But we are very U.S.-centric in terms of disclosure, and we have to consider the other countries that have had some kind of UFO research, UK, Brazil,
yeah,
Russia, China, Japan. Yeah. Years ago, when I had a UFO-oriented magazine, I received tons of English-language material from Japan. So if any government anywhere knows something more than we have a phenomenon that we can't explain, there would be some imperative at some point in time to say, here's the answer. We have it under our control.
Mm-hmm. Right. Especially with this whole Russian thing, and where if they were, you know, really involved in trying to destabilize the political system in the United States, I mean, that would be yet another way to do it. That'd just drive it over the edge, because right now the whole country is split and completely divided on this whole, you know, election interference thing. Imagine if all of a sudden they brought that out and then claimed that the government's hiding it too. I mean, who knows what could happen? I mean, I tend to think people are ready for it. Zabel, you know, last week he said, oh yeah, I think people can handle it. We've had 50 years of science fiction. It's not like people don't get the idea of alien visitation.
Don't disagree with you at all. I don't disagree with Bryce. I think that ultimately, I think we're ready to handle it. I think I want to believe and hope that that's the case. But I'll tell you this much. I know a lot of people in the world that I live in down here in Huntsville, Alabama, the Bible Belt, that would not be happy with that kind of proclamation. There's a lot of them that, if I give a UFO presentation around, that would immediately see this as all demon stuff, because it's not in the Bible, and they're very fundamentalists, and they would reject it, and they would do that. And so there is a good part of the population out there yet that remains skeptical and would not believe it, and would flat out reject it because it's all demons.
Yeah.
And even that's what Lou said that he was experiencing up at the Pentagon.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, we got into that a bit with Nick Redfern, the whole Collins Elite thing.
Yeah.
So we've got people who don't even believe that the moon landing was real. I mean, personally, I do believe it was real, but I mean, I find it hard to believe there's people who don't, but they're out there. So I think you make a really good point, Rich.
Well, isn't the Earth flat?
Oh, right. Yeah. Of course.
We've wondered here in the PowerCast whether we should get a flat earther on here and have some fun, but that may just be too extreme.
It is a bit extreme, let me tell you. I mean, there's so much evidence against it, it's ridiculous. And anyway, to me, I think some of them probably are doing it for the fun of it, and they get attention. And there's a lot of those people, even in ufology, that do their stuff for attention.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so what do we do about them, if anything? I mean, okay, so we've got, you know, the Raelians and these galactic ambassadors, self-proclaimed, like Stephen Greer, for example. I mean, I could just see them out there welcoming the Space Brothers and setting up a landing spot for them. And it'd be really funny if they, you know, didn't land there. But, you know, what about that? This whole sort of... the cultish side of the cultural aspect of it.
Well, there's not much that can be done. I mean, that's why, again, for us, it's a situation where we focus on the science and try to pull science together, because that we're trying to make some sort of like scientific determinations that we can make. And, you know, one thing you don't want, and I've always felt that there's so many distractions that take you away from the focus of the UFO that are out there. And I've seen it getting worse and worse over a period of time, in my 5 decades, you know. And so we don't want to spend time with the distractions. We would rather focus on the actual, you know, objects themselves and learn as much as we can. And that's where our interest is.
Let's do our break here, and we'll look at some of the extra things on the show with Rich Hoffman, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the PowerCast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive PowerCast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items. And entails t-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the PowerCast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of t-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a PowerCast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.thepowercast.com, store.thepowercast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great t-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the PowerCast. If you go to store.thepowercast.com, stop by and take a shopping tour.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen.
Come on, lady. Get a move on.
Goodness.
Where'd you learn to bank anyway? Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes. He made such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the
group? Hey, pal, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
He hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop the senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.